want to tell us where she's from, and we welcome you, and we look forward to hearing your share.
Thank you. Thank you, Melanie. Good morning, everyone. Bonnie B, I am currently in the state of Minnesota, recovered by the grace of God for today. Grateful for the privilege of being able to share what he has done in my life through this program. And I want to thank you for inviting me. And if it's okay, I'd like to just open in prayer first, just invite him in. Father God, we come before you with hearts filled with gratefulness for what you have done and what you continue to do in our lives through this program. I invite you in through my speech, Lord. I'm asking that you would allow me to share what you would want me to share. Please help me to set aside everything I think I know about you and about this program, about the disease, my DNA, so that I would be able to position myself in a way today to speak the words that you would want me to speak, the words that set each of us free, sometimes for 20 seconds and sometimes for 24 hours. We thank you again for the group of women that are here and men, and just invite you in. Amen. Okay, thanks again for having me. I'm just going to set my timer. I'm starting it right now. There it goes. As I said, Bonnie B, sorry for the funky light. I'm in a different room today and it's really weird lighting, but Bonnie B, I'm currently in the state of Minnesota, recovered by the grace of God for today. And I say, I always say just for today, for the next 20 seconds, because as Melanie shared, life happens. And if we don't stay positioned, if I don't stay positioned properly, my emotional sobriety will go very quickly. And as my emotional sobriety goes, so goes my program and my body. What it was like, what happened, and where life is right now, that's what I'll share today. What it was like, my top weight was 202. Real quickly, I think I'm just going to share pictures so you can just see it real quickly. I think, hold on one sec. You can sort of, oh, the host disabled sharing. Can I share pictures? Maybe is it good? Okay, hold on one sec. No.
I think Lisa's trying to do it.
Yep. Oh, you trying to do it, Lisa? Are you trying to share
No, she's just trying to make.
I forgot you had to go out and come back in, so I had to make you co-host again.
Oh, perfect. Okay. So it's still okay, maybe there it is. Maybe. Okay. So this is, I'm just gonna run through. This is by the time I was in by the time I was 5 or 6, I was already in definitely in the food. Here, this is about 5 or 6, 7 years ago. I was, I think, 180, 185. I came into OA How back in 2012, 13, 14, something like that. Really came into vision, really started to study the big book 5 or 6 years ago. That's where I started to see changes. This is me again.
We don't see you yet, Bonnie, just so you know.
You can't see them.
Not yet, so maybe you are you pressing like share screen?
I did press share screen and I see the pictures. Okay. I pressed the share screen. You know what? We practice, but if it's not working, that's okay. It doesn't really matter that much. I'll just say I came in at about 202, top weight, hovered at 169, 170.
Bonnie, you might
Yeah.
be able to just hold the pictures up to the camera and then we could see them for a second if you want. I don't
Okay.
know, just an option.
Sure, I can do that.
Great.
Okay. Okay, so this is, can you see that?
Yeah.
That's me about 5 or 6 years ago. Here's another one. Very similar, about 180 there. Again, the same thing. Came into program. Here's family. I was recovered at that point, but not at my ideal body weight. Here I was at my ideal body weight. That was 4 years ago. I did get COVID and I ended up losing all of my hair. And so I went from very long to very short. I did relapse over that. I realized that my hair was definitely an idol. At that point in my life. This is actually 1 year ago, I turned 60. This was at my 60th party with my husband. And then all of our six kids came in. Here's our six kids without spouses and grandbabies. And here's me just recently also. So, oh, and this is 1 month ago with our youngest. We have six daughters, five daughters, one son. This is our youngest to the last who graduated from college 1 month ago. So I came in and I bounced. I came in through OA How. Let me just back up for a second. So what it was like before. So I was raised in a home that was fairly dysfunctional. I had parents that gave me absolutely everything they could give me. It wasn't the Hallmark movie I wanted. I was assaulted when I was young by a neighbor, and food became my immediate best friend. And you can see at the age of five that I did have a picture prior to that. I'm normal up until food stepped into my life. And I never really knew that until I was later in life. But always knew I was different. Always knew I was different than other people. Couldn't wrap my head around how that was. I knew that I did a lot of things with food that no one else did. I was incredibly deceptive. I was a very good liar. I pretended really well for a lot of people. I knew how to put on a good show. And yet on the inside, I was really very, very bruised and very hurt. Again, when I did my first, fourth, and fifth step, I'd had a lot of resentments toward my parents. And I look back now and I realize my parents showed up with everything that they had. They gave me everything they had. And my background isn't why I turn to food. I have a different DNA. That's why I go to food. On page 427, it says, if you're an apple, you can be the best apple you can be, but you can never be an orange. I was an apple. Right. And so I had different DNA. I was looking for something to medicate when I was in dis-ease, and food just became that central source. It was binge, restrict, and exercise. And so by the time I was in seventh grade, I had really found the other two. I had started the exercise, and I had definitely started the binging. It was part of who I was, and I did it in secret. No one could ever figure out why the scale went up and went down like it did, because it didn't make sense, because I never ate in front of other people. I ate, I lied, I exercised based upon what I did in the middle of the night or the day before. I look at the big book, when I came into program, I was not so much broken on the outside, because I sort of figured out how to manage it. It was very destructive, but it wasn't uncommon for me to be up at 4:30 in the morning to be at the gym by 5. I would exercise till 7:30, come home. We homeschooled for 21 years, six children, go back over the lunch hour sometimes, and sometimes go back at night again, depending on what I did in the middle of the night with the food. And so my weight really was always vacillating between, 140, which really wasn't my ideal weight, but that's, at that point I was okay with that, 140 and 180, any place in there. And people were just like, what happened from one holiday to the next? I will say, by the grace of God, I've been at my ideal body weight, and that's determined by a nutritionist, God, and for 3+ years. And when I first came into program, one of the first things the sponsor said to me is, you might want to consider laying down exercise. And I just thought, you have got to be outside of your mind. How will I do this? And God stepped in and God did it. I didn't exercise for years. Last year I picked up, at the suggestion of my husband, I started lifting weights again 3 days a week, because I'm 60 and I know that I need to be doing those things. But the exercise that I did was definitely, not weights. It was connected to an app on my phone. And if I didn't burn 700 calories, I didn't go home. It was bondage to the max. I look at the big book and I think, what happened? God stepped in. God stepped in all over the place. The big book talks about the word miracle, and it uses the word miracle 36 times, which is very amazing to me. The definition of miracle is a highly improbable or extraordinary event, a development or an accomplishment that brings welcome consequences, a surprising and welcome event that is not explainable by natural or scientific laws and is therefore considered to be the work of a divine agency. I came into this program with a strong faith. I had a faith in God, And God had set me free from many things. However, he had never set me free from the food. And I am so grateful for the big book, because one of the miracles that God has granted me is the understanding that the big book isn't the treasure. The big book was the treasure map that got me to the treasure. I had a lot of brokenness. I had a lot of prejudices. I had a lot of cataracts. I had a lot of bedevilments. And this program has allowed me through the step work to bring those things to the surface. They used to be good and bad. They're not good and bad anymore. They're just things, right? They're just chapters in my book. I was so filled with shame for so long that it was all about image management. And so there's no way I could ever be honest with anyone, because then what would you think of me? And in this program, the only way I can stay recovered is to be honest. And yet, again, it was challenging, because as coming in as a Christian woman, as a believer, I felt like that's what I wanted to be. And yet I knew deep down I wasn't being honest with myself or with other people. So some of the miracles that God has done for me, and there's really 10, well, there's probably way more than 10, but, you know, the first thing he did was at the age of 19, I was very broken. I was broken through and through. And I was the first one in my family that went to school, went to college. And he connected me with a very dear gal who invited me to Campus Crusade for Christ. She saw the hole within my heart. And that was the first miracle in my life, was someone exposing me to the need of, you know, not just going to church on Sunday, but to the need of a savior. And again, this is just my story, so I pray that it's not offensive to anyone, but that was the turning point in my life. I, for the first time, felt as though so much of the shame had been removed. I felt as though I had been set free in a lot of areas that I was in bondage to for a long time. But like I said, the food was not relieved. But I did have a lot of other things that happened at that point in my life that settled some things out. You know, the second miracle was God bringing my husband into my life. Been married for 37 years to the most amazing man ever. He has stuck by me. And I'm telling you, I've been a hot mess at times. And he's loved me through it all. I've learned what unconditional love is from another person, which I had not felt before. I had never heard of OA How until I was 52 years old. The next miracle is God bringing someone paid the money. And they put an advertisement in a newspaper and they asked those questions. And I read those questions and thought, oh my goodness, this is me. And so I went to a meeting. That was a miracle. I sat in the back row. I listened. I was horrified at what she was sharing. And yet I was consoled, because everything that she shed, everything she said, I have done. I had done all of it. And so I got myself a sponsor, and I worked the steps. I mean, I worked the tools. I came in through a program that required that had really strong tools, and I'm grateful for that. And I worked the tools and I lost the 50 pounds and I thought I arrived. And the sponsor that I had did not take people through all the steps. I got step four on paper. That's as far as it went. I had 40 pages of stuff, and she encouraged me to find someone who was maybe more qualified to take my stuff. And I convinced myself that all I really needed was to weigh and measure my food, and out I went. Very slowly, but out I went. And within 2 years, the weight was back on again. And I was back in a closet with a baseball bat, beating myself up and wondering, what happened? How does this happen? How can you have it and then have it be taken away again? And then, of course, shame comes in. And shame is the thing that kept me in the closet with the baseball bat for many years. And then I had a very dear fellow from the program call me over and over and over. And I don't know if you guys are like me, but when you're in the food and when you're in the disease, you don't pick the phone up. And so I didn't pick the phone up. And then one day there was a chink in my armor and she called again, bless her soul. And I picked the phone up and she invited me to another meeting. It was called Vision for You. She said they worked the steps intensively. They used the tools, but they worked the steps. And so I went and I sat in the back room for a long time and I listened, and then I joined and I got a sponsor. And oh, let's just say I'm one of the educational variety the big book talks about in the back. I thought there was a softer, gentler way, and I did what I wanted to do and I left the rest out. And I came to understand, because of relapse again, that I was truly agnostic when it came to program. Someone gave me the definition of, they said, you know, An atheist outside of program is someone that says, I don't believe in a God. An agnostic says there might be a God. And a believer says, I believe there's a God. She said, inside my 12-step program, an atheist would say, I ain't doing that. An agnostic will say, I'll do that and I'll do that, but I'm not doing those things. And a believer says, I'll do whatever you want me to do, God, so I can fit myself to be of maximum service to you and other people. I fell into that category. I fell into the top two, even though I was a believer. Very, very eye-opening. These are some of the prejudices that God has shown me in my life. And so then I came back in and I decided, you know what? I'm going to do whatever I can do. And I had my list. I had my checklist. I was really good at the checklist. And I figured out very quickly the checklist only goes so far because it was me again. It was all me. I had a goal. I'll do the checklist. And if I do the checklist, then God, you owe me, right? If I do everything on that list, and here's the list. I'm going to weigh and measure. I'm going to call three people. I'm going to go to meetings. I'm going to participate. I'm going to do service. It was the checklist. I do all those things, but I do them for a different reason now. I do them because I want to remain fit. Why? So I can be of maximum service to God and other people. I can't imagine not doing the checklist, but the positioning of my mind has changed. I don't do it with the desire being, give me what I want. I do it with the desire being, keep me fit, God, so I can be of service to you and others, because I can't keep what I don't give away. And so God dropped into my heart very early on that he doesn't want my checklist. He wants my heart. Doesn't want my checklist. If he has my heart, he's got the checklist. Because my intentions will be, as someone shared at the beginning of the meeting, everything changes. I go from selfish to unselfish, right? I mean, I will do everything on that list so I can help other people. He dropped into my heart the revelation that it will never be me who accomplishes anything. For so long, I thought I had to do it. I have to do it. I have to do it. I have to do it. How do I do it, God? And it's not me. It's never been me. It's him. If it's not him, it's not going to happen. If there isn't a transformation, a complete transformation, wow, that lighting. If there isn't a complete transformation from the inside out, it's not going to stick, right? I've played that game. Page 31, here are some of the methods I've tried. Wow, have I played that game. It has to be an inside out job that can only be done by him. I had to stop listening to the outside ears and start listening to the ear that's on the inside of my heart. The three letters in the middle of ear is EAR. Okay. When people come to me and when I sponsor people and they say, what's my abstinence food? I say, who am I to tell you? You need a nutritionist, and then you need to sit down with God and ask him to show you everything you've ever binged on. Ask him to show you everything you've ever negotiated over and everything you're currently negotiating over. Ask him to show you all the behaviors that are connected to that. When you have those things on that paper, you're going to have your abstinent list from God. Don't look left. Don't look right. Look up. This is everything about this program is spiritual. If we don't connect to the power source, it's not going to happen. It has to be God or it's not going to happen. And so it has to be deep. It has to be intentional. And that's where God lives. I lived in, I'm so sorry about that sun. One second. Oh, that's better. I lived in the place of the shallow breathing for years and years, just hurried and harried. And how do I do it? And how do I fix it? And how do I show up? And God's not there. God is in the place of the pause. One of the greatest gifts I've ever been given is the pause. If I feel anxious on the inside, God, I've lost my connection to God. I have to just take a deep breath, invite him back in, and trust him for the outcome. It's the intentionality. When I give God my heart on a daily basis, when I wake up, I roll through 1, 2, and 3 immediately. And I ask God, I offer all of it to him. If anyone knows me personally, you know that we've had major, major issues with regards to the hurricane in Florida, the loss of house, the list just goes on and on. And God's got it. He doesn't need me to manage those things. In my disease, I would want to manage those things. I turn them all over to God on a daily basis. When I get to that place of complete peace, which is intentionally sticking there every single day by committing all of it to Him, I then discover my purpose in life. And my purpose in life is you know, God, the big book talks about it on page 77. It's to fit myself, to be of maximum service to Him and other people. The only way I can do that is to be working these steps. It's not to be of maximum service to God and other people. It's to fit myself to be of maximum service. I'm not fit if I'm not working the program. I mean, God's at the core of all that I do, but if He doesn't do it for me and keep me in that place I need to stay in, I will never be of service to anyone. I may be there physically, but I will not emotionally be there. And the greatest gift, and I can't believe the time is gone, but it's gone already. The greatest gift that I have today is not being at my ideal body weight. Had you asked me, 10 years ago, I would have said that was it. It's emotional sobriety. And the last thing I want to say, that the last miracle, and I know my time is just about out, is that the miracle of God just showing me deep in my heart that it's okay to be broken and it's okay to be perfectly imperfect. He knows both of those. He's okay with both of those. He loves me exactly where I'm at. He knows all the times I've picked up. He knows what my tendencies are. He knows exactly how I handle things. And He's okay with all of that. He's working with me. As long as I give Him my heart, He works with me. I used to think chapters were good and bad. I used to think I had to pretend. And now I realize chapters are just chapters. And God can be in the middle of all of them. And the desire that I had for the once upon a time, happily ever after, no, it's not reality, because there's all the chapters in the middle. But the chapters in the middle are what allows me to showcase God, because He does show up if I invite Him in the middle of every situation. And then what's the add-on? Oh yeah, you do end up being at your ideal body weight in the end, which is what I thought it was all about. And it's not, it's the emotional sobriety. Oh, I can't believe the time went so fast. I appreciate you guys for allowing me to share, and I'll pass with that.
Thank you. That was inspirational. Thank you.